Amen. You may be seated across the building today. It is good that we can be in the house of the Lord today. It is good that we can come together as a body of believers and knowing that God is with us every step of the way. It's something about having the peace of God in our lives. It's something about knowing that no matter what goes on in our lives and wherever state that we're in, God is there. He is with us. He is closer than a brother and a sister towards us. And I thank God today that He is with you and me. I do want to say that I want to thank those that have been praying for my sister. And she has now made it out of rehab this past Thursday. She is at home trying to recover, still dealing with oxygen. She's got to have oxygen. But we're praying that God will continue to touch her body where that she will not have to have oxygen anymore. But for right now, due to having pneumonia with COVID, it really gave her a double whammy, if I could say. But God has brought her this far, and I thank God for that. We almost lost her through COVID, but we thank God through your prayers and people praying. We give God praise through prayer and everybody coming together. And I've got a lot of friends in a lot of different denominations that have been praying. Their church has been praying. And I do believe it's through the power of prayer that has brought her through. So to God be the glory for the things that He has done. And so we give Him praise for all of what He is doing. And, you know, I've always said it doesn't matter what we're going through, we're still to give Him praise. You're still to give Him glory because He's still in control. We may be out of control, but God is still in control. And He is knowing and He is seeing and He can see exactly what we're going through. So I thank God today for His grace and His unmerited favor. Today, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 7th chapter. And we are doing a study on Slavery to Freedom series. And this is sermon number 4. And so we're going through the book of Exodus. So if you've missed out on any of my sermons, you can go to www.vsclexington.org. You can go into the media area and you can pick up any of the sermons that you have missed that I have preached. And so for a little while, we will be in the book of Exodus. And if you have a chance, I would love for you to read the book of Exodus because you'll be more familiar even with the story of Exodus. And a little bit today that I'm going to talk about will be called The Plagues Begin. The Plagues Begin. And this is a Slavery to Freedom series, sermon number 4. And so we want to give a little bit of an introduction here as we begin this study through Slavery to Freedom series. We see here in Exodus, the 7th chapter, we see that there is a back to Pharaoh issue going on. Moses had felt like giving up, and his first meeting with Pharaoh brought oppression that took place. The slaves were pushed, and because of his request, God encouraged him, and so he and Aaron returned back to Pharaoh. And so we see this also in Exodus, the 6th chapter. We see the prophesied plagues that begin to take place and their purpose of what was going on. And so now we're here at this point where that Pharaoh is trying to drive God's people into harder slavery and causing them to do more work, causing the taskmasters to rule over them and say, do not give them more breaks. I do not know their God. I don't care about their God. And I want to continue to keep them in bondage. And so we are here now in Exodus 7 and 1. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet, and you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land, and I will harden. And this is very important about what God does here. He says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply by my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed to you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Can I hear an amen to God's word? Amen. That God's judgment might fall upon Egypt, that God might deliver his people, that the Egyptians might know the Lord. I want you to know today that there may be times in your life that you will feel like just depression, oppression. You may just feel like you just can't go on any further. You just feel like you just take one step forward, it's three steps back, and you're scratching and pulling at your hair. You may even try to shake your fist at God, saying, God, why is this happening? But I want you to know today, there is no surprise with God about anything that goes on in your life. And yet the enemy will try to get you to look at your circumstance. The enemy will try to get you to look at the problem that you're dealing with. The enemy will get you to look at that you can't go on any further. The enemy will get you to look at how are you going to be able to do this now since everything else is falling around you. I want you to know today that God is with you right in your plague, right in your circumstance, right in your situation. And yet he may see what the enemy is doing, but guess what? The enemy cannot destroy you. The enemy cannot take you out. The enemy cannot stop you. He may slow you down. He may detour you to another area. But when God lays his hand upon you and when God is in charge of you, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, because he has you in the palm of his hand. He is not going to allow anything to destroy you. He's not going to allow anything to come against you, but he is going to fight your battle because he is the victory. He went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father, and therefore we have victory on high. When things seem like it's not going your way, I want you to know God has a better way. He's in charge and he will take care of you. I want you to know today, give God praise in the house today. I want you to know today that the Egyptians begin to reap for their oppression. The Egyptians begin to reap for their oppression. In Exodus 7 and 4, but Pharaoh will not heed to you, so that I may lay my hands on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. when God gets in his situation to where he sees everything that's happening in our lives, when he lays his hand on you, there's not enough devils and hell that can move the mighty moving of God away from you, because when God secures you, he seals you, he signs it, delivers it, and God will be God, and he will move in your behalf. I want you to know today that the Egyptians were indebted to the Israelites. Genesis 4:41. You don't have to go there, but you can write it down. Genesis chapter 41. We see the story of Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dream. We see Joseph had a forecast years of blessings and years of famine. His wise counsel began to spare Egypt from a great suffering, yet Joseph's family came to Egypt because of the famine. They had multiplied and brought no harm to Egypt, yet the prospered in Goshen and added to the Egyptians' economy, and yet the Egyptians made the Israelites yet slaves. And yet we see in Exodus 1:8 that there rose a king out of Egypt who did not know Joseph, and that's the king that we're talking about today. And he said to his people, look at the people of the children of Israel. They are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. It happened in the event of the war that they also joined our enemies and fight against us. And so go up out of the land, as the Bible says. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them, to burden them. And they're built for Pharaoh a supplied a city. And yet we see, but the more of the afflictions begin to take place, more multiplied and grew. And yet the dread of the children of Israel went through so much with Pharaoh. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor and with so much of a task, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, and yet mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field and all their service in which they made them serve war was with rigor. And I want you to know today that a lot of times when we deal with issues in our lives, it seems like there's no way out. It seems like there's no escape. And it seems like we want to say, God, where are you? You know, it's like we want God when we want God. But we need to realize that God is with us when we're on the mountain as well as we're in the valley. And he doesn't want us to call on him when we're in trouble, but he wants to have a personal relationship with us day in and day out. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to share with you. He wants you to know that you are his, and you're the one and only to him, and that he loves us and he's in it for our best interest. I want you to know the taskmasters afflicted God's people. But listen, God didn't forget about this. There may be affliction that may come in your life. You may deal with issues in your life, but God doesn't forget about it. God doesn't like he ignores it. God doesn't say, well, I don't see it. God sees exactly what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. And the Bible says he'll put no more on you than you can bear, but make a way of an escape. In other words, the burden is not there forever. You may go through something right now, but know that you're not alone going through what you're going through. Jesus Christ is with you. He is fighting your battle. Remember, It's not your battle. It's God's battle. Give it to God. Get your hands off of the circumstance and the situation. Relinquish it and say, Lord, I surrender to your lordship. Lord, take charge in my life. Lord, be glorified. And Lord, take the burden that's on that I'm dealing with and let me relinquish it to you. Therefore, God will set you free. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen, their lives became bitter because of their bondage. And yet the Bible clearly lets us know that God would invoke the law of sowing and reaping. In Galatians 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul, he writes and he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Understand, when the things that we're going through, the enemy might be trying to hold you down. The enemy may be trying to cause you to go different things. Listen, whatever you sow, you will reap. If you reap good, you will. If you sow good, you will reap good. If you sow bad, you will reap bad. Understand that God is with us and nothing is a surprise to Him. Listen, Egypt, as the Bible said, would begin to pay for the oppression. The Bible clearly lets us know that we cannot sin and win. Let me say it again. We cannot sin and win. God saves us from our sins, not in our sins. Let me say it again. God saves us from our sins, not in our sins. The Apostle Paul says that grace may abound and that we are not to abuse the grace of God. That if we ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and life as an old wretched man or woman that we are, we ask the Lord Jesus come into our hearts and life, guess what? He comes in and He saves us and we come to know Him. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and therefore we're to walk, not be Christ, but to be like Christ. That we will allow the fruit of the Spirit, which we just talked about that in our Bible study on Wednesday nights, that we must have the character of Christ coming in our hearts and out of our lives so that we can continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ day in and day out. Yes, we are people that are not perfect. We were not planned to be perfect, because if we were perfect, we didn't need the Lord Jesus Christ to come die on a cross for your sins and my sins. But because we're not, the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ came down to free us so that we wouldn't be in bondage, just like the children of Israel were in bondage. But praise be to the Lamb of God, they were set free, and the same God that set them free is the same God that sets you and I free every day. And to God be the glory, because we have the victory on high. The Bible clearly lets us know that the Lord begins to release His people from the oppressors. My second point, the Lord begins to release His people from the oppressors. Listen, you might be down, but it's never designed for you to stay down. There'll be times that you'll go through valleys. There's times that I've gone through valleys as your pastor, but it's not for me as a pastor to stay down, because God has clearly let me know in His Word that I may go through things, you may go through things. There are seasons of life that goes on. We deal with seasons of life just as we deal with seasons of nature, of fall, spring, winter, summer. We deal with that every day. Well, there's things of seasons of life that you and I deal with. But guess what? There's no surprise with God, because God takes us through the seasons of life. You might be in the winter, you might be in the summer, you might be in the spring, you might be in the fall, but whatever season it is, God is God. He's an on-time God. He's going to take care of you. He's going to bring you out of bondage, and He's going to give you victory from on high. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know in Exodus 7 and 4, but Pharaoh will not heed to you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. I want you to know, when God begins to speak and when God begins to move, there's nothing that anybody can do. Again, there's not enough devils in hell that can stop the mighty moving of God. Because when He begins to move, you might as well step aside and let God be God, because He's going to do what He's going to do. God is a righteous God, but yet God is a just God. And God clearly lets us know through His Word that He will take care of His own. When you walk with God, when you talk with God, when you pray to God, when you read His Word, when you take time out to communicate with Him, God will be God. He will show up, He will show out, and He will show you who He is. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know. He says, and will bring forth my people out of Egypt. God calls to Moses from the burning bush, as we see this in Exodus 3. He must go to Pharaoh and seek the release of Israel. God would go with him and enable him for the task. And now Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. But yet God begins to announce the first plague. We see it in Exodus 7 and 14. Remember, God said, Moses, when you get there, I've hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he's not going to listen to you. You may ask me today, well, Pastor, why did God tell Pharaoh to harden his heart when God told Moses to go let Pharaoh know to let the people go? God did that because He wanted Moses to know that it will not be Moses in his ability. It will not be in his strong arm. It would not be on what he says, but it will be what thus saith the Lord. In other words, God was showing Moses, Moses, I want you to be the spokesman. I want you to go with Aaron. I want you to let this king know, but I want you to know that if I've hardened his heart and he's not going to release my people, I will release my people. In other words, God takes it another level. You may try to do all you can do with everything you could do that's possible to your life and to what you're wanting to do. But listen, there's times that it just don't seem like it's ever going to happen. Things are not going to change. Things are not going to happen. It's never going to happen. But listen, that's when God may close that door, but He will open up another window. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Because He wants to show you who He is. And when everybody else sees what's going on, they will know that it was God that moved in a mighty way. It wasn't man moving. It wasn't the woman moving. But it was God that was moving in the midst. That's the God I serve today. He is a God that's a possible God. When the impossible is unreached, He will reach down and He will move in a mighty way. I want you to know today that when God spoke to Moses, He says his heart will be hardened. And the Bible clearly lets us know that there is a plague that was coming. And we see this clearly when Pharaoh refused. And the Bible says in Exodus 7 and 14, so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning, and when he goes out to the water, you shall stand by the river banks to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent, you shall take it in your hand, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus saith the Lord, but this you shall know, that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river, and with the rod in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. You see, the river will turn to blood, the fish will die, and the water to be undrinkable. And the prophecy is to be fulfilled. I want you to know today, God knows exactly what you're about to go through tomorrow. God already knows what next week is going to bring in your life. You don't know. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what next month is going to bring. But I do know that God is going to bring His grace and His mercy, His sovereignty. He is going to be God in our lives, but guess what? We just have to obey. All we have to do is say, Lord, take charge. And that's exactly what Moses did. Moses was not a great speaker. He told God, I cannot speak. I stutter, I stammer, I can't say it. And God said, I'll speak for you. And Moses says, I can't do it, God. And it frustrated God because God saw that he could do it through Moses. But guess what? That didn't stop God's program. That didn't stop God's plan. God said, well, that's fine. You're going to have Aaron with you. Aaron is going to speak for you, and he's going to speak with you to let the people know, but I want you to know I am God. It doesn't matter whether you can speak or not speak, because God will speak for you. There's times that you don't know what to say. There's times that you don't know what to do. Listen, but when we stand in the presence of the Lord and we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to our hearts and lives, guess what? That's when God begins to be God, and He comes on the scene and He begins to touch and move in a mighty way in your life. Listen, God lets us know, as the Lord spoke to Moses and as He spoke to Aaron, He said in Exodus 7 and 19, take your rod, stretch it out, your hand over the water of Egypt, over their streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, over all the pools of water, that they may become blood. You see, God is now pouring His wrath out and letting Pharaoh, saying, you're not God. You're not in charge. You're not going to be over my people. You're not going to take possession of my people. I am now going to show you who I am, and I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to show you. And the Bible says that over all the ponds, the streams, the rivers, the waters, they became blood. And there shall be blood throughout the land of Egypt, both in the buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded, by placing the rod and speaking as they began to move. So he lifted up the rod, struck the waters, struck where the rivers are, the sites of Pharaoh and the sites of his servants, and all the waters there were in the river were turned to blood. The fish there were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And then they decided to call in the magicians of Egypt. Do so with the enchantments. Pharaoh's heart began to grow hard, and he did not heed to them. And the Lord said, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians began to dug all around the rivers for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. Can you imagine this, folks? Can you imagine? God meant business. It's something about, hear me today, it's something about serving the Most High God. It's something about serving the Lord. It's something about when you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Listen, it is not doom, it's not gloom, it's not agony, it's not defeat. It is not woe is me, but it's for us to hold our head up high, give the world a smile, and let them know who's in charge. It's not you that's in charge. It's not me that's in charge. It is God that's in charge. It is God that's in control. Listen, God brought you into this world, and He gave you life. The same God that brought you into this world is the same God that can bring you out and will bring you out of this world. And I want you to know today that when God speaks, everyone will listen, because the Bible says one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't matter if you're a Buddhist. I don't matter if you're Muhammad. I don't know, whatever religion that you may be, one day everyone, including this pastor, will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim who He is. Listen. Events leading to this release of Israel had begun. Blood began to go over all the place. Third, my third point, the Egyptians begin to realize they are dealing with God. Now the Egyptians begin to realize they're dealing with God. Sometimes it takes tragedy, sad but true. Sometimes it takes tragedy in our lives to get our attentions. And you wonder, Lord, what is it going to take to save my daughter? What is it going to take to save my son? What is it going to take to save my family? What is it going to take to save my friends? And you may be serving the Lord today, and you may be that Christian that you're loving the Lord and serving the Lord the best of your knowledge and ability, and you're trying to do the right thing, and yet you've got people around you that don't claim to know the Lord Jesus, maybe don't care about knowing the Lord Jesus, and you just kind of wonder, Lord, what is it going to take to save my friends? What is it going to take to save my wife or save my husband? What is it going to take? And sometimes it takes a tragedy. Sometimes it takes a circumstance. Sometimes it takes an issue to get our attention to slow down enough to let God know, I see, Lord, what you're trying to do. And sometimes it takes us almost close to our deathbed where we're just about to check out of life. And yet God doesn't grant that all the time. God doesn't grant us to be at death's door and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes tragedies will come, and it may not go the way of a deathbed, but it may go of something else. But there are times that God will do things to get our attention. And we see here now that the Egyptian says, you've got my attention. When the Egyptians begin to realize they're dealing with God, Exodus 7 and 5 says, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When this will happen, when God's power is demonstrated among them, when Israel goes out of Egypt, there were difficult days ahead for Israel. There were difficult days for Egypt. The plagues would keep moving, and the plagues would begin to anger Pharaoh because he was now not in control. He was now out of control. Because now, everything that he was saying, now he had no charge. He had no control. Why? Because God had stepped in over his people. God will step in for you when things are not going the way that you think they should go. God will step in when the enemy is trying to do things in your life. God has the last say-so, folks. God has the last say-so. And so I want you to know, when they begin to see this, Israel begin to realize, and Egypt even begin to realize, of God's power. When Israel goes out of Egypt, there were difficult days ahead. And yet the plagues would keep. Pharaoh even angry. Yet he still wouldn't give in because God said, I've hardened his heart. See, God was not through with Pharaoh. God's not through with the Egyptians. God's not through with you and I. You see, God was still going to show Pharaoh who he was. That's why Pharaoh did not release God's people right away. Because he hardened his heart, because God was going to reckon with Pharaoh and he was going to let Pharaoh know who's in charge. Listen, ultimately, these would bring about Israel's release. Finally, Pharaoh would say, go serve the Lord. He finally began to say it, Exodus 12 and 31. And then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. I want you to know today that God is always at work on behalf of his people. God is always at work. Listen, I was talking with somebody the other day. There is dividends. There are blessings that you receive when you serve, listen now, when you serve the Lord. And when you serve the Lord will serve you. Now I want you to think about this a minute. When you serve the Lord and when you live for Him, And even if you've got any kind of position at the church, if it's to be the janitor, if it's to vacuum, if it's to clean, or if it's to do whatever, when you serve the Lord does not take that for granted. For God sees that you're doing a work for Him. In other words, it's not about you. It's not about what you're getting out of it, but it's about what God is doing in your life. And when you serve the Lord then in return serves you. Listen, I want you to know today that God clearly says, I will be in your best interest. Romans 8 and 28 says this, and we know that all things work together. And we know, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good, not bad, for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to not your purpose, not somebody else's purpose, but to His purpose and His purpose only. In other words, to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we work for Him, as we serve Him, all things will work together. Sometimes you don't know when, you don't know where, you don't know how, but all things work together for those that love Him and is called according to His purpose. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you're called to His purpose. Because there's a purpose that you're to serve Him. There is a purpose that you're to trust Him. That there is a purpose that all things will work together for the Lord's and the Lord Himself. God makes a way for His people to be free. God makes a way for His people to be free. God is never wanting you and forever not for you to stay into bondage. God is a God about free. God is a God of being free. He is wanting to set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He deserves our confidence and commitment. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. Listen, no matter what you and I go through in life, we're still to praise Him. We're still to glorify Him. We're still to thank Him. You will say, well, Pastor, I'm going through this and you don't understand, and I've been through this and you don't understand. It doesn't matter what you're going through in the past, now, or the future. It is still God be the glory. It is still give Him thanks. The Bible says if we don't praise Him and we don't call upon Him, the rocks will cry out. I want you to know God is going to get praise whether you like it or not, whether you serve Him or not. He's still God. He's not going to change. He's a God that does not fail. He's a God that does not stop. He's a God that will continue to be God because He is God. There's no other God before Him, for He is Jehovah God. He is